shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and funny is her sister, and we're one big happy family here. And online at philhendryshow.com, the online home, the worldwide web home of the Phil Hendry Show is philhendryshow.com. Tonight and every night, you can watch a live streaming video cast of our show. It is Phil TV in HD. Do you know what Chartbeat is? I just was looking at the Chartbeat numbers for our live views. I'm always interested in knowing who's watching us live as opposed to who's watching the on-demand the next day. And it's very interesting. The live views of the show are going up. Now, it's on late. It's on late on the West Coast. It's on in the middle of the night on the East Coast. And yet, our live views for our video cast, Phil TV, are spiking a little bit. I don't know what maybe the TV, the regular TV sucks these days. And they're like, oh, what the hell? Let's go see what Henry's screaming and yelling about. For those of you who are watching on Phil TV in HD and you see that horrific-looking left eye of mine, that it is getting better. I know it doesn't look like it. It is getting better. I don't know. I woke up Sunday morning, this explosion of blood vessels in that eye. Something happened. And so it is improving. If it doesn't get, you know, completely cleared up, though, by, you know, a certain point in time, let's say 3 years from now, no. I'll hit up the doctor. Don't worry about it. Because I know you guys really care about my health and my well-being. Yeah, sure. Anyway,
sure I do.
I know they do. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-7445. And tonight we're going to discuss more employee relations and business relations as well as economy with Bob Green from Fraser Foods, which has been very, very much on our mind as of late. Is the economy improving? Is it not? There has also been an interesting piece of news that affected the art world as well as, I suppose, the world of business, and that is the sale of a painting called The Scream, by Edward Munch for $120 million. And if I'm mispronouncing the man's name, I apologize. I should know it, but I unfortunately am not that well-versed in the art world. Can you believe that? $120 million for The Scream. On the line with us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park tonight is Robert Green. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Phil, and believe me, you're not alone with that painting.
Well, tell me about this conversation that you had with the young lady, Dahlia Bertelli. Was an employee?
Dahlia right now, Phil, she is an employee. She's not a former employee, but we do have her on a... she is on suspension without pay until we decide what the best way to proceed is.
All right, tell me, you were talking about the movie Scream, were you not?
Yeah, if you want me to...
Go ahead and start at the beginning.
Well, I was in the market today. I was actually at our Buena Park store today, and we were doing some payroll, and we're going through a couple of end of quarter bits of housekeeping financially. I was down on the floor talking to some of our checkers, and I had mentioned that I had watched with my girlfriend the other night this movie Scream, which I thought was pretty silly, but it's a horror movie, and I understand, or a suspense movie or whatever that I understand was very popular. In the movie, they have a villain who has a mask on with that big it looks like he's with the O mouth. I don't know how to, like he's yelling.
Yeah, like he's screaming. That's from the painting.
Well, let me just tell you, in the movie they have that picture. He's wearing that mask.
Right.
And he's wearing a black hood of some kind. And I had made the joke to my girlfriend, and I made it only to my girlfriend. It was in confidence, and we both laughed about. I wonder why his mouth is shaped like that, and it was totally in confidence, and certainly I didn't repeat that other than with Janice. But when I got to the office today and I heard Dahlia speaking to a customer about the sale of this painting, she was holding up a copy of the USA Today. And I saw the painting, and that's when I said, that's the guy from the Scream movie. And she said, well, you can see in the newspaper, it's not really the Scream movie. It's a painting called The Scream.
Had you never heard of this painting?
I don't think that... had I ever heard of the painting? The answer to that, the quick answer to that is no, but I also would like to hasten to add, Phil, I don't think most people have heard of it. You know, the art world is... I'm sure it makes news when they saw one of those paintings because the people that are the patrons of the art world are very wealthy people, but for the rest of us, it really doesn't mean much. And when she said, well, but she gave me a look and she said something that was the heart of the problem here, Phil. When Dahlia said to me, well, Mr. Green, our Bob, I think she said, it's a painting. Don't you read the newspaper was the phrase she used.
All right. Now, that's what you took exception to, right?
Yes, sir. And
why was that?
I thought in front of a customer it was flip. I thought it was a little unkind. But more to the point, in the context, we were talking about a painting that went for $120 million. My customers are going to expect that I know about these things.
But you've already admitted that you don't.
I'm admitting to you that I don't. I'm not talking about... In fact, I don't know about this painting, but I don't think it's something you say to a customer. You say in front of a customer who is shopping in the store, because what you're saying essentially is, this is my boss. He's not very educated. I'm more educated, and watch how I talk to him in front of you. So she really, she, you know, those are like, it's almost like three fastballs, and she swung and missed on all of them.
All right, so this young lady, Dahlia, you were talking about the movie, right?
Yeah, well, no, I came and I said, you know, I watched that, because I was talking to one of the other people. I was talking to Jerry Reisman, who was one of my, one of the guys who works in the produce. And I said, we watched this silly movie Scream. He said, oh, yeah, that's the one with the mask. I said, yeah, the guy's got this mask where the mouth is oh. And Dahlia was checking the customer, and she said, well, that's the painting. And she had talked to this customer, and here it is, called The Scream. And she said, don't you read the newspaper? Well, it was one of those moments where the humiliation, everybody's sort of looking at you. You feel as if you've had all the clothing stripped off of you. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. You've just been humiliated by one of your checkers. Understand that I am the CEO of this company. And I have, I fought a long, hard battle to get this business to where it is. And when one of your checkers, she's a checker, stands there in front of a customer, another employee, maybe other customers that are within earshot, perhaps other employees, I don't know, and says, don't you read the newspaper, it was this painting, The Scream.
So you felt insulted and humiliated. What happened subsequent to that?
Well, I asked Dahlia to meet me in my office, and she came back during her break, which I really was, that made me very angry. I said, I'd like to see you in my office, and she didn't come back to the office until she took her break.
Did she have a line of customers or something?
It doesn't make any difference if you have a line of customers. You find somebody to stand there in front of that register. When she finally got to the office, she made a comment, another personal comment, about me, and I just said to her, you're on suspension without pay until I can figure out what we're going to do.
And what was the comment she made?
It had to do with, it was a personal comment she made about me, having to do with, I wear a hair system that is my own hair. She made a comment as to its appearance.
Okay.
And
was she being a smartass?
Well, it sounded like it to me, yeah.
Well, so here's a woman who knows, she probably knew that she was in trouble, and she comes back and she makes it worse.
That's exactly right. And I think if there's anything to impart today on your program, Phil, we'll be talking about employee relationships with supervisors, especially your relationship with the man who founded and who is the CEO of the company. See, that's the difference between me and most of these guys. I'm the founder and the CEO of the company, and you still feel free to say to him, no, that movie you saw last night is from this painting. Don't you read the newspaper? And then she went back to talking about art, which is great. I like people that are educated. But when you do it in front of me, you've just made me look and feel small, and now you're going to further inflate yourself by continuing to discuss art with a customer. Now we get back to my office, and she makes a comment about a $15,000 hair system that I wear.
And what was the comment? She just decided to attack you.
Yeah, she just decided to come in there, and I don't know what it is, Phil. I think some people these days... So if you're an employee, my advice to you is this, and I know this is one of the reasons why I'm on the show, Phil. My advice to you is to always, if you can, keep your opinions to yourself, especially when you're around your supervisor, but most especially when you're around the founder and CEO of the company. Your opinions, however much you think they're important, are only going to irritate people that are like me, and don't ever make a comment about how he looks.
All right, Robert Green with us. Hang on, Bob, and it's good to have you.
It's great to be here, Phil.
877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445. Robert Green has put one of his employees on suspension as we talk about employee relationships because she was talking to a customer about something in the news and was speaking in a way that was condescending and a bit of a put-down to Bob. They were looking at in the newspaper, the sale of the painting, The Scream. Bob mentioned, isn't that the same face that they had in that movie, Scream? And these people, I guess, talked to him about the artwork. He felt a little bit insecure because he didn't know anything about the painting. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show. So he put her on suspension. And we'll be right back and find out what else transpired
Truth
there at Fraser Foods.
Bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Until I can figure it out.
Until you can figure it out, right.
On the dial in Florida.
What city are you in? What city are you in, ma'am?
Boca Raton, Florida.
Boca Raton. Could you check, Bill, check Boca Raton and see what
station?
Do you know the call letters? Do you know the call letters of this? Do you know the call letters of the station? What are the call, when we say the call letters, is it W something something?
On the dial.
Yeah, but what's the W? The W part. It's W something.
WFTL.
We got a WF, Bill. WFTL.
Yes.
All right, ma'am. What's the problem? We've had a problem with WFTL.
I have this station on all day.
I'm very serious. What they did.
When you go
and you're going to hear all that stuff, right?
A lot of rattling noise and a lot of loud noise. You can hardly hear the people talking.
Were you listening to music, did you say, or are you listening to the talk shows?
No, when I'm listening, put your station on. Let me talk slowly. There's something wrong with when your show starts, there's a lot of rumbling.
Well, now, what show are you talking of? I'm the program manager. I don't know what show you're speaking of, miss. What show are you speaking of?
Phil, what's his name?
Let me check. Who do we got? Phil what? Phil Nolan? Phil Henry. I know who it is. It's Phil Henry.
Phil Henry. I just couldn't think.
Okay, good. Very good.
What did he do? I don't want to say. I don't want to bother you. It doesn't come.
Yeah,
through.
No, you're not bothering me. The problem is we've had complaints about him, so I want to get at least something down because we've had about three or four complaints in the last 20 minutes. So what's going on? Well, they're talking about the loud noises.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. You're relaxing in bed, and I'm used to listening to the station every night.
Right.
And I have to
right.
turn it off and put another talk show because there's a lot of rumbling and noise. I wonder if it can be correct.
There's rumbling. Does it sound to you like? Do you have a touch-tone phone, ma'am? So I could test. Do you have a touch-tone phone?
What dear?
Do you have a touch-tone phone, dear? Do you have a buttons on your phone?
Yes.
All right, do me a favor, will you? Bill, could you monitor this? Hit the number 6 for me. Just the number 6. Hit that. Let me see if this works. I don't know.
And this is every night. And all the other stations.
Yeah, I know, but I need for you to push. I need for you to push the number 6 on your phone so you and I know that we've got. We're triangulating the audio, okay? So push the number 6.
You want me to push number 6?
Yes, dear.
Oh, okay.
Find out, Bob. Bob, find out if the number 6. You need to push it down. Just push it down for about 3 seconds, please. I'm sorry. Should have told you that. What does that sound like?
Yeah, it sounds like a good thing.
Okay, yeah, yeah. That's a problem. This, your number 6 on your phone.
And
did
it's
you press
awful.
6?
I mean, I
did you
even
press?
Call, I
oh,
even
yeah.
call your main office to tell them. They say I have to call
yeah.
you.
Did you call the main office where? In Boca Raton, or did you call our main office in Miami proper? Miami?
No, it wasn't in, it's in Fort Lauderdale
in
somewhere.
Fort Lauderdale.
It doesn't matter. She says it has nothing to do with here. Just call the station to let them know it.
Well, no, Fort Lauderdale, we have a hard time getting the signal out of there. The reason is it's close to the water, as you know. I don't know if you know
what?
That.
I don't
the
want
ocean.
To hold you up. I appreciate you.
Well, you're not holding me up, but the number 6 that you pushed, the number 6 you pushed was not number 6. I need you to push number 6. That's what Jack Featherby's telling me.
Oh, I'm pushing 6. I see it clearly.
No, dear. All right, we'll do it again, please. She says that's 6.
Something wrong with it.
No, she says that's 6.
No, she's got to get some.
Is that a new phone, dear, or is that an old phone?
No, honey, I've been doing this for the last 20 years listening to this station.
So you know how to, no, but the phone, is the phone new? I know you know how to push buttons on the phone.
I have
phone.
All
you know,
up-to-date phones. Everything's fine.
You do.
I don't have problems.
Are you sure that's
the station
Jack
on at 1 o'clock in the morning. There's a lot of rattling and noise. See if you can correct
what is
it.
The rattling? Is it? Does it sound like wax paper? Does it sound like he's doing it in the studio, or is it on the? Is it part of
I don't
the
think
reception?
It's there's something. There's a lot of noise. You could hardly. It's disturbing. You can't listen.
All right, dear, I want you to hang on for me. Hang on for just a minute. I'm going to be with you in 30 seconds because I want to check something with my engineer. Just please hang on.
I'm sure you
thank you for hanging on. We'll be with you in just a moment. Right, I got a lady on the line here, and she says she's hearing rattling, but I'm just trying to humor her. I don't know what she's talking about. What? Well, she says she's hearing noises.
Hey, listen, I've been in
She's an elderly woman, and she's probably hearing things.
Now,
they always call him. Let me get back with her, and I'll just pretend like...
It doesn't matter. Okay. I'll just won't listen.
Hi, I'm back with you. Yeah, that sounds bad. We're going to look into it. Does your radio... Are you listening to your radio? And by that, I mean, what kind of radio?
I have a Boss radio, a $500 radio. I have no problem with no other station.
A bus? You've got a bus radio.
Boss, B-O-S-S.
Boss.
Boss.
I don't never heard of that. Does it work? I got to ask you. Is it made in the United States? I shouldn't ask you that, but I'm going to just between you and me.
What
is it? Is it a Jap radio? Is it a Jap radio?
You don't know what a Boss is? B-O-S-S radio?
No, ma'am. I've been in the business a long. I've never heard of a Boss radio.
Well,
I've heard
of
KHK.
Minute. Maybe I'm pronouncing
Boss
it
radio.
Wrong. Will you please let me look at my
is
radio.
Is it B-O-S-E? Is it Bose?
Yes, it's B-O-S-E.
Oh! Yes. Well, that's a frequent problem with... No, Bose is actually good, isn't it? Okay, Jack Featherby says Bose is outstanding.
Look,
what do you think it's a problem?
California, everything clear. It's only your station
you get colored,
I'm not getting.
You get a colored what?
Stations that come in from California...
The colored stations?
Yeah, they come
in... The California stations. All right, very good, very good. So the California stations are coming in, but Florida doesn't, and you live in Florida. That's a problem.
But your station, is it from Florida?
Yeah. No, I don't know. My station is from is not technically from
California,
Florida, although we want it. I come from California, and Phil Henry comes from California, but
the
show itself
is coming from California. It's not coming through. That's all.
It's in Florida, but it's coming from California.
I know that because I used to listen
right.
to the other show before you.
Did you listen to the show that was on in Florida though? And when we were on in Florida,
he
couldn't
was
get us.
Coming in from California.
That's the funny.
He used to have all the.
And he's coming in from California.
And everything.
Well, he comes with a banjo on his knee. You know, Listen, dear, I'll look into it.
I don't want to
wait. You need to do.
Can you?
Yeah, you are. Just okay. I'll tell you what I'll do. Get another phone though, because that six is broken. I know that for a fact.
The six is not broken, and I have.
I believe the six is broken. Hit it one more time. Well,
all right. If you get other complaints, please take care of it.
All right. Everybody is calling and saying that their number six is fine. You're the only one that.
Oh, well,
all right, I'll see what I can do. I don't know what else I can do. It's
all right, try to correct
the Phil Hendry Show. I'll try, yeah, thank you. Phil Hendry Show, I'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Number six.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. David G. Hall is going to be back with us at the top of the final hour of the show, I think, to tell us more about customer relations. Right now, we do have Robert Green with us. And pardon me, Robert, for that little moment there with David and the listener.
I can understand it was a demonstration of how to handle a customer, but that's what I'm trying to give you here. So, you can use that time, we can use the time together, but I'm telling you what you do with a customer. Now, I had walked into the store. I had engaged Jim Reisman, one of our produce guys. I said, we saw this movie, Janice and I watched this movie last night. It was called Scream. They had the guy, and I went into describing it.
Right.
And that's when I said, is that where they got the idea for the painting? And she said to me, the checker, she says, well, that's this painting that they just sold for $120 million. And I said to her, that's where they got the idea for the painting then, from this movie. And that's when she said, she gave me that look that I'll never forget. It was a look of almost, it was contempt and pity. And I knew right away what that look meant. It meant that she felt like she was smarter than me. And
well, you said that you thought the movie, they got that scream face in the movie, that influenced the painting?
That's what I thought. I'm like 99% of the people that are out listening tonight. I don't know anything about art, and I don't care. I understand that art at Phil is for very wealthy people. I know that you probably are going to disagree with me here. Art is for the wealthy. It is not anything, if I were you, that I would waste a lot of time talking about, because if you think about it, the only people that can afford to own art are wealthy people.
Well, I've got to disagree.
Are you telling me everybody's got $120 million laying around?
No, I'm not saying that you can own the original, but there are prints, there are posters, there are people that have coffee table books of artwork, there are people that go to the museums.
You're missing my point. You're missing my point. Most people don't know about art because they can't afford it and they could care less. A lot of the big art pieces, they want to go see the Mona Lisa. I went and saw the Mona Lisa with my first wife. We went to Paris. And I looked at it. I thought it was fine. There were a lot of people getting their picture taken. It was very crowded. It was a very hot day. I saw it. My wife said, there's the Mona Lisa, there's the Mona Lisa. And I said, fine, let's get your picture and let's get out of here. I wanted more to get away from all those people than I ever in my life wanted to see the Mona Lisa. So in other words, the energy with which I wanted to leave that place far eclipsed any energy that I might have put into saying to myself, gee, I sure would like to go to Paris. Yes, then?
I get it. I get it. You're not an art fan. You're not an art fan. So what we're talking about here, though, is the fact that your employee, this Dahlia Burstelli, was looking at an article about the sale of the Scream for $120 million, the very same face that inspired the movie Scream. And when you asked, did you see, is that from the movie? And she looked at you and said, don't you read the newspaper?
Yeah, it was like that. It was condescending. And she looked back at the customer. I don't know if you know that look. When they look at you and they smile and then they look back at the person they were talking to, and it's like it's a conspiratorial look of, boy, do you believe this stupid guy? That's what was going on. And so that's when I said, I want you in my office. I waited, I waited, I waited. It was 5 minutes. So by then, I'm ready to, I was really angry. And she walks through the door and she says, Mr. Green, your hairpiece is on crooked. And that's when I lost it. I said, I'm putting you on suspension. It's not a hairpiece, it's a hair system. It's $15,000 worth. I said, I bet you think you know all about art, and, you know, good for you, but this is a hair system of $15,000. Now, understand something, Phil.
Well, hold on. I want to be clear. So this young lady is an art fan. She's talking about this with this checker?
No.
She's talking about it with a customer?
Yes, she's talking about it with a customer, the sale of this painting. I said, that's from the movie. And that's when she said, no, it's the painting, the scream. Don't you read the newspaper? Look back at the customer. Ain't he a dumbass? Look back at me. You're a real dumbass. Didn't say this.
And so you're imagining, well, I shouldn't say you're imagining, you know.
No, I'm not imagining anything.
All right, so you feel it was an insolent thing. Now you get upstairs, you're going to talk to her about what exactly was the very thing that you wanted to get across.
Well, it was like what I said earlier. Don't ever pull that with, if you're an employee, and I know there's a lot of people listening to me right now, don't ever pull that with your boss. Don't pull that, hey, boss, here's something about art and all of this fancy spancy that you don't know anything about, and I'm talking to a customer in front of you, and it's like speaking Spanish in front of a guy. If you don't speak Spanish and you're speaking Spanish, boy, that I don't know about you, but it really gets me. When I hear people speaking Spanish, I say, talk English, and I'll say it to them no matter where. I'll say it to people that are from Mexico. So when you do that, all you're doing is humiliating the boss. Now I get to my office, and the hair system, she thinks is crooked. I looked in the mirror. I had been combing it, and it might have slipped. I don't know.
This is your hair.
What?
This is your hair you're talking about?
Yes, it's my hair. It's a hair system.
And well, what do you mean by a hair system?
It is a hair. That's exactly what I mean. It's a hair system, and it might have slipped, but when she said, your hair piece is on crooked, that's when I said, I said, just get out of here, get out of the store, get out of my office, and get out of my sight, and don't even think about calling me or anybody here until such time as we decide what we're going to do with you.
Well, what have you decided?
We're going to dock her a week's pay, so she's on suspension for a week without pay. She can come in and work if she wants to, which I would take as a sign that she really wants to get back into the family. But she's not going to get paid.
So you're going to have you would accept her back working, but
without wages. Yeah. In fact, we encourage that so that I can tell that they really mean, you know, they care about the business.
Wow. 877.
What does that mean? Wow.
Well, Bob, I got to tell you, first of all, you've suspended her without pay, but you will accept her working there for a week. In fact, you encourage her to come back and work, but she's got to work for free for a week. Secondly, you call it a hair system, but there was, quote, some slippage.
Let me tell you something, my friend. It's not a hairpiece. Do you understand that? Do you know the difference?
No, I don't. I really don't.
Well, Phil, it's very interesting because I've seen pictures of you. You got no hair. And
no, you're right, but I don't know anything about hairpieces.
Never worn a hairpiece.
Never.
No, I don't understand it. You're claiming to me you've never worn a hairpiece.
No, I never have.
Have you ever had plugs? Well, you don't have hair plugs.
No.
So you're one of these guys without hair, and you don't wear a hairpiece. You've never had hair plugs, and that's so that those of us who don't have hair and do go for a hair system, that's to make us feel even smaller than we do, or what? I don't understand the point.
And I don't. No, I'm not looking to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not hurt. I just don't wear a hairpiece, and I never have. I'm not looking to upset you.
You're not upsetting me, Phil. It doesn't upset me. It's your attempt to upset me.
I'm not trying to upset you.
Well, guys that wear hairpieces, you're trying to walk around like you're better than them, right?
No, I'm not trying to walk around like I'm better than them. No, I'm not. I don't wear a hairpiece. I don't have hair plugs. I don't have a hair system.
Well, look, I didn't... That is my hair. Let's be... It's my hair. And, you know, I'm getting off track here.
Exactly. I don't want to talk about this. It's your hair. There was slippage. I don't know what that means. I'm not going to get in an argument with you about it. You said to her, don't ever talk about my hair system.
No, I didn't say she said it looks like your hairpiece is crooked. And that's what I said. Get out. Get out and don't even think about calling me or anyone here. And
how can you enforce that?
I just tell my employees I don't want you talking to Dahlia. If she calls, hang up. I don't want anybody here at the store talking to her until such time as she decides to come back here to work without pay or she stays home without pay.
If she stays home without pay, would you bring her back?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've already decided I'll bring her back, but she's not getting paid. It would go better for her if she came back here and worked without pay so that I know she's on board. I don't know she's on board if she doesn't do that.
Well, Bob, all she did was point out to you...
Oh, don't tell me about how to handle my employees.
All right. I'm sorry. All right, so to recap, you thought, after seeing the movie Scream, that that character influenced Edward Munch and his painting, The Scream. You were corrected by your checker, Dahlia. That angered you. She also commented on your hair system that you said there was slippage.
That's correct.
And so you then suspended her without pay.
That is correct, yes. And again, Phil, I think the lesson to be learned here for anybody listening as an employee, when you're around the boss, of course you want to watch what you say, but if you're around the guy who's the CEO of the company, like that's me, I'm the CEO and the founder of the company, so that's... There's a whole lot of power being packed into that one moment when I walk in the store, because what I am is not just the boss, I'm the head of the company, and I'm the guy that founded the company. It's like, I'm not calling myself George Washington, but it would be like if you went to work every day and there was George Washington. So there's a lot is being said when Bob Green walks in the store.
Okay.
And when she turns around and says, well, guess what? You don't read too good, do you? Because this is a painting, and it's $120 million and blah, blah, blah. That's going to, obviously, don't ever, ever, ever open your mouth that way to a guy like me. That's all I'm trying to say.
All right, we're going to be back here with Robert Green in our final segment. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And his checker, Dahlia Bertelli, a young lady who apparently corrected him. She said, no. The mask in the movie Scream did not influence the painting. It's the other way around. There was a painting called The Scream by Edward Munch. It just sold for $120 million. Bob was offended by her correcting him in front of a customer. She made a comment about his hair system, and he has suspended her without pay. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And he had slippage. It wasn't crooked.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry here with Robert Green from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. We continue discussing employee-employer relations and the recovering economy, we hope. And while it is true that we have to show workplace conviviality and etiquette and being polite, you're not asking an employee to grovel.
No, Phil, I'm not asking for groveling. What I'm asking for is... If you are have a certain erudition in art and you're standing there with a customer and the two of you are talking about the art that they sell, again, I think you have to be very wealthy to care that much about art, because only the wealthy own it. And when she started talking like she was, you know, something special, and I stood there, and I remember Jimmy Reisman, who came in from Proto's, I mentioned, he kind of looked at me like I was less a man than him. soon.
All right. All right. Let me just take a phone call. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is Court. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Court, go ahead, please.
I was flipping through the radio stations, and I overheard this conversation, and I honestly couldn't believe what I heard. I you'd think that a self-made man that's on the same caliber as George Washington would know the difference between a low-budget movie and a priceless art piece. I don't understand how you could not know
that. I don't consider myself George Washington, sir. I was making a comparison. It was a bad comparison. I'm simply saying that... well, what do you do for a living? I mean, if you...
I'm a truck driver. I'm a 25-year-old truck driver. I don't have any art education.
Do you own your own business?
I drive a truck. I drive a truck.
So,
that's all I do.
You can drive a truck and own your own business. If you own your own rig, you own your own business.
But, no, I work for a company. I drive a dump truck for another company.
I can tell you that
I know the difference between an art piece and a low-budget movie. So, thank you. Have a good night.
You know the difference between an art piece and a low-budget movie. Really? You've watched this movie? No.
I think that the guy is basically saying...
Well, he's a guy who's a dump truck driver that thinks he knows more about art, thinks he knows more about life than me. So that is a double whammy there. So that's two. In the course of 6 days. No, 5 days.
What is two? So in other words...
This is a dump truck driver, and the other gal was a checker. Do you understand what's happening here? So I stand there and I say, I saw the movie Scream. It was really interesting. And it looks like the guy, that guy with the mask, I think it inspired that painting you're talking about. And the checker says to me, and now the dump truck driver, oh, guess what? The painting came before the movie. I didn't know that. Why would I know that? And where does the dump truck driver get off saying, boy.
Well, he was, I think he was angry by the fact that you didn't know. And
didn't know what? Most people don't know.
How do you know it's most people? You know.
Oh, come on, Phil. I said to you, does anybody own this?
You know, I don't think you have to own it. I mean, I think there's certain pieces of art that anybody would know. For instance.
Yeah, I agree with you. Mona Lisa is one of them. Whistler's Mother is another one.
Right. Whistler's Mother, Mona Lisa. What about Starry, Starry Night?
I don't know that. Is that Starry? What is that?
That's the Van Gogh with the stars.
No. 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 You're getting into the art world. I'm talking, if you and I want to talk the language of the common man and not some truck driver that wants to be something that he isn't, and my checker who's telling me about my, tries to tell me what a hair system is supposed to do and not do when it's on a head or on my head. If you want to tell me that that's the conversation we're going to have, well, thank you very, very much, but I've got other things to do. Have a very pleasant good evening. However, if you want to have a rational, adult conversation about the pieces of art that an average man would know... And
you don't think that the average person would recognize Starry, Starry Night as a Van Gogh?
See, right there. Just don't say... Right there, that's the way she was talking. You don't think that a da-da-da-da-da...
Well, come on! All right, let's...
All right, you just stop for a minute.
I was going to say, let's talk about art pieces that everybody would recognize.
I'm going to tell you what they are. Just you not say anything.
Well,
just please don't say anything. I'll tell you because that's what I do. I work with the public every day. I know you do too, Phil, but you're doing a radio show. You're not standing there on the floor of the produce section, the floor of the deli section, and the floor of the meat section. You're not standing there near the checkout stand and listening to them day in and day out, listening to their problems, listening to their triumphs, their dreams, their fears. You look at their children, and sometimes you want to cry. Sometimes you take a look at a woman's kids, and you want to weep because you can't even imagine kids that look like... I'm being honest. You can't imagine a woman with kids that look like that, that they're going to have any chance of influencing or impressing people when you got kids that are looking the way some of these kids look. And
look, I don't want to talk about the way someone's kids look. You're going to mention art pieces, right?
Yes, sir.
Mention some art pieces that everybody would know.
Okay. Whistler's Mother... you know.
What's wrong now?
Nothing. Whistler's Mother.
I apologize, Bob.
You have to apologize. Whistler's Mother, Mona Lisa, The one with the farmer. Farmer Brown?
Farmer Brown. I don't know.
Oh, give me a break. The farmer.
American Gothic.
What is that? American Gothic?
Are you talking about the guy standing there with a pitchfork?
Yes, exactly. I call it Farmer Brown. What is it?
American Gothic.
All right, American Gothic. That's one people know. They know Whistler's mother. They know the Mona Lisa. The one with the nude. You know, he's nude and he's touching fingers with another nude. I think it's one of those medieval gay. It's a homosexual piece from the medieval times.
What is it?
The nude. Two nude guys are touching fingers.
That's God touching man. That's the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel.
This is what I'm talking about, Phil. You know, it's amazing. You know, the average...
No. Don't give me the average man. Two nudes and it's gay. That's God.
Which one's God? The nude?
No, the guy with the gray beard. Like maybe the older guy? That's God. The Sistine Chapel is ceiling, and he's touching the finger of man. He's giving life to man. That is the Sistine Chapel.
You know, you're so full of crap. Good night.
Unbelievable. World famous Phil Henry Show. David G. Hall will be back on with us to talk about employee relationships and customer relationships when we return here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, as we talk tonight about the reviving, we hope, economy and how, as employees, we get along with our employers. I guess I talked too long.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Henry.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, broadcasting from the shores of the El Pacifico. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. We're on every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. David G. Hall will join us here, the Vice President of Syndication, in just a moment to talk to us about our discussion here that we're having this evening about the resurging economy, relationships between employees, employers, so on and so forth. We'd like you to visit our website, philhenryshow.com. This is where you can get a backstage pass to the Phil Henry Show. Go behind the scenes, watch us as we produce the show, watch us as we perform the show, watch us between, in the commercial breaks when we're just, screaming and yelling and I'm getting upset and I'm throwing things and Dan's telling me that he's going to quit. It's fantastic. Then, of course, our News and Information Hour, Bud, and you'll see Bud and Robert, yes, sure. And it's great. You also get access to our thousands of hours of archive material. And while you're there, visit our souvenir shop. The Phil Henry Shop has the new Teds of Beverly Hills hoodies. You got Phil Henry Show baseball caps, as well as T-shirts, as well as coffee mugs. We got a fantastic cappuccino mug. Is that what that is? It's a big one, man. And shot glasses, just in time for the summer. A true original, the Phil Henry Show shot glass. You got to have that. In fact, I'm going to be playing poker this weekend with my very dear, close, personal friends, a bunch of guys whose names I am not at liberty to divulge. And anyway, because I'm on a diet, tequila is only about whatever the hell it is, 95 calories per ounce. That means two shots of tequila, less than 200 calories. And since I'm doing my 2,000 calories a day, I can get just smashed on tequila at the poker game, lose all my money, but still be well within my limits for my diet. So anyway, go to our souvenir shop and pick up something nice. We also have our CDs. We also have downloads of the CDs. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. David G. Hall joining us, our partner in crime, Vice President of Syndication for the world-famous Phil Henry Show. David, good to have you on the show this evening.
It's great to be with you, Phil.
I know that you talked to, and we heard you talking to, the lady who said she heard a lot of noise. So we got a first-hand glimpse at your style with customers, a listener. What did you take away from that? What did you tell her? What did she tell you?
Well, I mean, you've got a listener, a lady who she called up and said, every time I listen to the radio station, she's listening to WFPL in Fort Lauderdale, and I said, Miami, and she said, no, Fort Lauderdale. I said, I appreciate it if you'd say Miami, because it sounds a little, you know, more, it sounds big time, and she'd have none of it, and that bothered me. But I said, okay, fine, have it your way.
What's the station?
It's WFTL. It's in Fort Lauderdale. But I said, could you just go ahead and say it's in Miami? And she said, no, it's in Fort Lauderdale. So
Where was she calling from?
She was calling from Boca Raton, so I guess it made a big difference to her. So in any event...
Well, I mean, if it's in Fort Lauderdale...
Okay, Phil, fine. You made your point. But I just thought it would be nice if you'd say, hi, I'm listening to Phil Henry in Miami. Miami. You know? You know where that is, right?
Yeah, I know where it is. I understand that. You know, I worked at WSHE there years ago. That's in Fort Lauderdale.
All right, Phil. We can take a stroll down memory lane later. I'm just saying it would be nice if we just... It's Miami, okay?
All right, it's WFTL Miami there.
God, man. I mean, you know, all I'm trying to do, I'm trying to help you here, okay?
All right, fine.
So she said that she's hearing a lot of noise. She's hearing a lot of bumping and scratching. And I said, where's this? She said, on the radio station. And I said, she says, I'm hearing noise and screeching and a lot of bumping, and I can't make it out. I said, oh, ma'am, that's not noise and bumping and screeching. That's the Phil Henry Show. Is what I said to her.
Okay.
Oh, bro, come on, will you?
Well, what did you say to her?
I said that we'll check it out. And I said, but, you probably because you're old and your hearing is shot. And
you didn't say that.
Yes, I most certainly did.
No, you didn't say that.
I most certainly did. And she took it and laughed and thought it was very funny. See, one of the problems that you have, Phil, is...
Wait. You said to the lady, your hearing is shot and you're old, and she laughed.
Yes, she said, ha, ha, ha. Thank, you know, I know you're kidding, or whatever she said, I forget. But she was fine with it. One of the problems you've got, we talk about customer relations. A lady calls up, she says, there's a lot of scratching and noisy stuff going on your show, Phil. If she said that to you, she said it to me. I said, yes, ma'am, what is it? I said, what's the show? She said, the Phil Henry Show. And then I made a joke. I said, oh, that's scratchy, noisy crap. I said, that's just Phil's show. It's just scratchy, noisy crap. And she went, ha, 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 and so did I. And that's when I said, but really, it's probably because you're old and your hearing is shot to hell. And she kept, ha, 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 ha. She kept laughing.
And well, maybe she didn't hear you insult her.
Understand something. Let's get you off your high horse. It's not insulting just to make a nice joke.
And you're old and your hearing is shot, and that's a nice joke.
If you learned how to do a little bit more of that. Now, one of the problems we had in the last hour, and this is this goes right to what it is I'm talking about. You were talking to Bob Green. He's a longtime sponsor. And he got emotional.
Yes, he did.
I heard that. He got emotional because you raised your voice to him, and I think a lot of people, and it goes back to a very, very young place in a lot of people, they remember being yelled at by their fathers. They remember being yelled at by their... Have you ever cried when somebody yelled at you?
Yes.
When was that? Boy, I can't wait to hear this.
When I was in high school. I remember very vividly crying. I was a freshman in high school, and I was screamed at by this senior because they were hazing us, and I started to cry.
You cried? Okay, how old were you?
I was like 14.
But you know, I mean, I'm talking about like as a man.
I'm sure I've cried.
No, when someone yelled at you.
Bob, no. I don't think so. Probably.
My name is David.
Dave, I'm sorry. No, I think that as an adult male, I probably have gone off to a hole someplace where no one would see me and cried.
All right. Well, Bob Green was caught. You caught him. You yelled at him, and he started to get emotional. I think he pulled it together, and kudos to him. And I thought that you could have apologized to him. You didn't. Okay, move on. That was then. This is now. All right, fine. One of the things that I worry about are the emotional state of people. If you yell at a man and he cries on the air, how much separates that moment from that moment when someone calls the police and said, I thought I heard a car backfire, and, oh, no, you didn't. That's a body out there in the woods. You see what I mean?
Well, what are you trying to tell me?
What am I saying that you don't understand?
So, in other words, this guy, Mr. Green, cried and he committed suicide.
I didn't say that. I said we have to learn how much distance there is between that moment when you yell at a guy and he cries and the moment when someone calls 911 and says, I thought I heard a car backfire, but now I see what looks like a dead deer, but it could be a man, with a pistol laying next to him out in the woods in the snow. How much distance is there?
Boy, you got some imagination going there, man.
What am I saying that you don't understand?
So the guy cries, and the next thing we know, he's outside and he killed himself.
Yes. Now, here's what I was trying to say. You're bald. And I want to just let people know that. I know you know you're bald, and I know that I know you're bald, but the people out there listening, you're bald. Okay? Are you bald?
Yeah, I'm bald. Yeah.
All right. Robert Green, one of our sponsors, wears a hair system. Mr. Green had said, why don't you wear one too, Phil? And you said, because I don't feel like it. Now, there was a moment of vulnerability there. There was a moment in which he wanted to say to you, and you could have said to him, but you know something, Bob, maybe I ought to try it. But instead, you let him dangle. You let him hang there. So when a guy who is bald asks another bald guy, don't you wear a hair system? How far is the distance between that moment and someone calling 911 and saying, I thought I heard a balloon pop? And
okay, I get the I get the point, all right? Now, I got to take a break. And
well, you got to let me finish.
I understand what you're saying. I thought I heard a balloon pop. I understand what you're saying. We'll get to the bottom of what David is talking about here when we come back. 877-87. That's not noise and garbage. That's the Phil Hendry Show. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, is this 911? Yes. I probably heard a balloon pop, but it could be a guy.
All right. 877-876-PHIL, and we're on with David G. Hall, and we're going to get to some calls tonight, but I wanted to just talk with David here as we are discussing employee-employer relations, customer relations, and so forth. Now, the lady that called, and she said that she heard a lot of crackling noises, this and that. She had called WFTL. They said it was on the network side, but in point of fact, it's on our radio show side.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, whatever is going on there, I don't know whether it's the phone that you use or the phone system, but you hear an awful lot of the phone static, and that's, I try to explain that to her.
But you also said, yeah, you're some old lady and your hearing's going.
Yeah, and she laughed, too. See, if you know what you're doing, if you know how to talk to people, what I'm trying to say, Phil, they're not going to start to cry, which is almost what happened with Bob Green. They're not going to get angry. They're going to listen. They're going to laugh along with you. Now, I want to get back to the discussion I had. Bob Green asked you if you were bald. You are bald. Bob Green wears a hair system. He's one of our top sponsors. He asked you, do you wear a hair system, Phil, or have you ever? You said no. Now, I know you were being honest, and I know you didn't see any harm in being honest, but do you understand what happens to a man who has lost his hair, doesn't have any hair, and isn't secure about it, and buys a hair system? And
what is a hair system?
Hold on for just a minute. Just let me get out a thought. Buys a hair system, or if you will, a hairpiece, or if you will, a toupee. That is not what Bob Green has. He's got a hair system. Well, let's say he gets hair plugs or whatever. I think, especially if it's one of your top sponsors, you make him feel secure. You didn't do that. Instead, you yelled at him. He sounded like he was going to bawl like a baby. This guy's a CEO and the founder of Fraser Foods, and you had this guy almost sniveling, yeah, like a baby. And
well, what could I have done?
What you could have done is when he said, Phil, you're bald, have you ever thought about a hair system? You could have said, well, that's a pretty good idea, but I know you. You don't want to do that. You want to be Mr. Independent, and you want everybody in Radio Land to think, oh, Phil's better than that. He's a bald guy, and he's going to stay bald, and there's just no, he ain't going to cover that up. He's bald. And you don't care how it makes someone feel until, hello, 911. Yeah, I thought I heard a...
Okay, can we... The suicide image is really bothering me.
Well, I hope it does.
And I don't think it's accurate, and I think it's very macabre and morose of you. I don't think it's accurate to say the guy's going to go out and blow his brains out.
Bill, bald guys, maybe not all bald guys, but a lot of bald guys, don't have a lot of... It bothers them that they're bald. Doesn't it bother you that you're bald?
Yes, I don't like being bald. If they had a pill that I could take and it would grow my hair back, I would tank it.
Do you use any of that Rogaine?
Early on, in the early 80s, I went to a dermatologist, Dr. Goldman in Beverly Hills.
Oh, well, pardon me. And
well, I'm telling you, because the guy's very well known.
I never heard of him.
Well, that doesn't mean he's not very well known. He's a very well-known dermatologist. And I took the treatment. You know, he gave me these shots in my scalp, man. And I don't know what the hell it was, Rogaine. But then it all became available over the counter.
Well, do you use it?
No, I don't use it, man. I don't use it. I'm freaking bald, Jack.
Well, yeah, but so in other words, you said a pill, but why don't you use the thing? You could get something going up there.
No, you're not going to get anything going, man, at this particular point. Okay?
And do you, let me ask you this. Are you one of these bald guys that wears the ponytail? Because I got to tell you.
No, I am not.
You don't?
No, I do not.
Did you ever?
There was probably a time there where I, yeah, mistakenly did.
Man, I got to tell you.
All right, don't make a big deal out of it.
I got to tell you, though, that is. So I said that to Bob when Bob started advertising with us and before he went out and got the McLaren hair system. I said to him.
The McLaren hair system, I don't know that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's great, Phil. Thank you. Because I was trying to get him as an advertiser, and there you are. Oh, I don't know him. So I said.
I don't know.
So I said to him. Are you going to wear that? I said, is that ponytail? Do you like that? And he said, sure, why? And we were going out that night. This is when he was single. And he's been single, you know, off and on for about 3 or 4 years since he divorced his second wife?
I don't know.
All right. I said, what you did there, is that something you like that? And he said, you seem to be uncomfortable. I said, I'm not uncomfortable, because you got to keep in mind, he's a sponsor.
Okay.
I said, no, I'm not uncomfortable at all. He says, well, is there a problem? I said, there's no problem at all. There's no problem at all. He said, well, okay. I said, I just wanted to know, is that the way it's going to be?
Were you talking about a ponytail?
Yeah, he had a little ponytail, bald as hell, like you, but kind of the long hair, only pulled it into ponytail.
And you said to him, is that the way it's going to be?
Yeah, I wanted to, in other words, Phil, I'm teaching you what is called a little bit of skill, social skill, all right? I wanted to send a message to him that he looked like a complete ass. He looked like he was wearing someone's ass on his head. But I didn't want to tell him that, because he's a sponsor.
So instead, You sort of kept asking these questions.
Yes, I said, yes, I did. Because what you want to do is maneuver him to a place where he says, oh, the hell with it. I'm going to take the... He had a little tie, a twist tie or something, that he got off of a garbage bag, and he tied it.
Twist tie from a garbage bag?
Yeah, that's how he tied it, with a twist tie from one of these hefty bags.
Are you out of your mind? You mean the little black...
No, it was the white one that you did to with the ridges.
And he tied a ponytail with a hefty bag twist tie?
Yeah. And again, I can't say anything to him, because that's a lot of money he spends with your show. So he's got his hair pulled back in a ponytail with a twist tie he got from the hefty trash bags. We're on our way out to pick up these two really slamming women. I'm telling you, I picked them out myself, all right? And when David G. Hall says that he's going to set up the women for the night, you don't have to worry at all. You sit back and relax and watch the fireworks begin. So,
well, I mean, what are we talking about?
So you think I got hookers, huh?
Well, what are we talking about?
They're people I know, okay?
All right, I'm sorry. I don't know what you're talking about.
You got some nerve on you, I'll tell you that.
Well, I don't know. You're saying when David G. Hall picks out the women for the night.
They're people I know. They're friends of mine. Here's this guy with his hair pulled back like that. I said to him, hey, how you doing, buddy? Great. I said, are you ready to go? He says, yeah. Now, understand, he already looks like he's just all wrong. He's got on a vest. He's got on a pair of very tight leather pants. He's got on looks like a rodeo shirt. The whole effect, it's just, he looks horrifying. But I can't tell him, go in there and change your clothes, because you're going to embarrass me into the grave. I can only make... You got room for one comment. And the comment that I reserved it for was the twist tie in the hair.
Let me just ask you a question. This guy came out of his house dressed in what?
He had on a vest. He had on tight leather pants, too tight, and on like a rodeo. I called it a rodeo shirt. It was a Western shirt, and he was wearing those, like, not moccasins, but they looked like moccasins.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I reserved my commentary for the hair. I figure he can look like a clown if he wants to, but that hair in the ponytail, when you're bald and you pull it back like that, you're a loser. Now, Phil, I've been reading these Rommel tweets of yours, and he's another loser.
All right, so the point is what? The point is don't talk about being bald and not getting a hair system in front of bald guys.
Right, because bald guys, if you are in front of an insecure bald guy and you talk about getting a hair system, and that bald guy is thinking about getting a hair system, he's going to feel encouraged. He's going to feel confident. But if you start saying, oh, I'm bald, but I don't care, I'm going to stay bald, and that guy is wetting himself every night thinking about what a cue ball head he's got, I can't.
Yeah?
If he's going to bed every night wetting the bed thinking about the cue ball that he's got between his shoulders, yeah.
All right, well, I understand what you're saying. Make him feel confident.
Exactly.
Make them feel like they're part of the team. Don't, you know, don't lord it over them.
Exactly.
I don't know how you went out with this guy dressed. How did you guys make out with these girls?
Well, that's really none of your business. Boy, that is, you know, you're asking all the wrong questions tonight, aren't you?
All right, I'm sorry. I just wondered how she reacted to Bob in his outfit.
I don't know, but I will tell you this. When I talked to her the next day, she'd had a great time, and I didn't bring up his clothing. She didn't either, but she wanted to see him again.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what saved it. I got his hair out of that twist tie, I think.
Wow. All right, the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876, talking with David G. Hall here, and we'll take some phone calls coming up next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, talking with David G. Hall here about the employee-employer relationships. We were with Bob Green last hour, and this whole idea of balding and bald men. You're talking about Bob Green, who is a guy that lost his hair and was tying it back in a ponytail, and you talked him out of that.
Yes, sir. And I tell you, Phil, Bob's not the best dresser in the world. This guy's got a lot of money. We went out with these two women, and apparently she had a good time. I talked to her the next day. The young lady was with him. And now, I don't know, but and he looked like hell. When I went to the house to pick him up, he looked like hell. He lives in a beautiful home in Anaheim Hills.
Okay.
But he looked like living hell, and he thought he was fly. He thought he was styling, and he's got the hair pulled back and a twist tie. I said, do yourself a favor. You're a bald man. That's when it hit him, and that's when he went and got the hair system. And when you said to him, no, I don't have a hair system, all you do is make a guy with a hair system feel small.
A hair system. That's the thing that really bothers me.
What?
Why doesn't he just call it a toupee? Why doesn't he just call it a hair piece?
It's a hair system is what my understanding is.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go over here to Timothy. Hi, Tim. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
And, hey, can I ask a question?
Yes, go
Hello?
Ahead.
Yeah, this is David G. Hall, sir. Go ahead.
My question is, why do you sound like that you're better than everybody? I'm bald, I own two businesses, and I accept all my employees for the way they are. And you sound like you're above everybody. God made people the way they made them. So
well, that's
who
true,
gives
but
you the right
bald,
to downgrade somebody?
If you're bald, you're already. In other words, I'm not saying you're bad. I'm not saying that you're not a successful businessman. But in the looks department, you got to admit, you're trailing.
I don't agree with that.
I'm trailing.
Whoa.
Dude, I've got money coming out of my freaking yin-yang. I own a furniture store, two of them, one in Houston, Texas, one in Dallas, Texas. I have two construction companies in the same place. I ain't trailing nowhere.
I understand that, sir, but you're always going to be bald. So you're...
So
what difference
God
does...
God made me this way. God made me this way. I'm proud of it.
All right. But I'm saying that God made you ugly is what he did.
No, he didn't. Let me ask you. I'm going to jump in here, Tim. Hold on.
Who the hell do you think you are, buddy?
You sound like you're insecure.
You're the one that have two guys pick up hookers for you, not me.
Sure, I know those.
Do you have a guy arrange a date for you? But now, what kind
I
of
don't arrange
have?
Dates. I know those young ladies. They were not hookers.
Do it.
The guy I got the dates for, ties his hair back in a ponytail and he's as bald as a newborn baby. So what?
You can't accept him? You can't accept him for the way he is?
It ain't about me. It's about the woman looking at a guy with a ponytail and
it's about the woman and her hand, not about you.
That's true. And I want to mention something, Tim. You know, women don't seem to have a problem with bald. Women that I know, and maybe Tim, they don't have a problem. A lot of women are attracted to it because...
a lot of women are attracted to it.
Because they think it means extra testosterone, to be honest with you.
What does that mean?
It means...
Things are better guys than that, that are, idiot.
It means the guys who are bald tend to have a higher level of testosterone because that's what clogs up the hair follicles.
I've never heard that one, but that sounds good.
It is pretty good.
I think it's a load. I think you guys, you wish it was like that.
Let me ask you a question.
I wish. I've got seven kids, buddy. And I'm proud of them.
Why don't women have male pattern baldness?
What?
Why don't women suffer from male pattern baldness? Some of them get a disease. Yeah, I know that. But I'm talking about the male pattern baldness. Why don't women get it?
You mean like a baseball?
I'm talking about what men get. Male pattern.
That's a good question. That's a good question. I can't answer that one.
Are you trying to tell me it's because they don't have the male hormone?
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
You know, you guys that are bald kill me. You can't just gracefully be bald. You got to make up fairy tales about. Yeah, you know, women really like it.
Look at man, I don't have a problem with women.
We got to make up fairy tales and stuff. You want to know some?
Yeah.
At least we can joke about it. At least we can enjoy it. At least we're not ashamed of it. We're not hiding nothing. We are who we are. We are the men that God made us, and we're proud of it.
I'm trying to tell you guys.
We don't have to shut down other people.
If you're around a bald guy who's insecure about it and he says he wears a hair system, the least you can do is say, hey, that sounds good. I think I'll try that.
Why would I lie to the guy?
Why would I want to do that?
Because then he's going to feel insecure because you two guys are going to lord it over him and think you're so hot, you're bald, and you don't care.
What? If that guy asks me about he's wearing a hair system or whatever the hell you want to call it, and I say to him, well, I wouldn't if I were you because you shouldn't worry about being bald.
Oh, yeah, sure. That guy... Thank you, Phil. And the next thing you're going to hear is a pistol shot and a 911 call.
Oh, get out of here.
Do you want to know what I'd say if someone asked you that? God made me the way he made me, and I'm proud of it.
Yeah, so I know. You've said that about 95 times. Right, I know. I've heard you say that about 50 times now since you came on. You know,
what's wrong with
that? I'm telling you, some bald guy who's about ready to put a pistol to his head because he's as bald as a newborn baby's ass, you know.
David, the only guys out there, and he's got bigger problems than being bald. Psychologically, that guy's got trouble that has nothing to do with his being bald. All right, sir, thanks very much, Timothy. I appreciate it.
Thanks for stacking the calls, Phil, against me and in your favor.
I didn't stack anything. Thank you, sir, for your call. 877-877-877. I like that guy.
You like him because he agrees with you.
You know, I don't believe that anybody can be this stubborn. At some point, you have to say, well, you know, Phil, you got a point.
Oh, is that how... This is what I love about you, Phil. This is what I love. You keep hammering away and hammering away and hammering away until finally someone's, well, okay, Mr. Hendry, I guess you're right. You won't let people have their opinion.
You can have your opinion, but I'm not hearing anything logical happening here, okay? 877-876-PHIL. Now, we went ahead and called Bob Green back. Is he on the line? But okay, I got Bob Green here at Fraser Foods in Buena Park. Bob, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. I've been listening to David. You're talking about the date that I had. Yeah, and then you know when Trudy called, I talked to Trudy the next day. She said she had a great time. Well, of course she had a great time. There's no. If you're out with Bob Green, you ride a chariot to the stars. Don't worry about it. Okay. But what is this you were saying about how I had on the tight leather pants and they looked bad? I want to say something to you, David, if I could.
Yeah, but David, no, I didn't mean to say that they look bad.
I want to say something to you if I could. First of all, those leather pants, the look was a sort of a Marlboro Man tough. It's a tough thing. I wear it well. A lot of women like it on me. All right? Now, we were going out for Japanese, what we eat that night?
We had sushi.
We had sushi, exactly. So I come striding in to the sushi bar. I've got that Marlboro Man thing going on. You know, you get a lot of these people that are Asian or Asian Pacific will begin to hop to it a little bit if you've got a... Yeah?
Lost the line, Phil.
Yeah, are you there, Bob?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm sorry. If you go into a sushi bar and you've got that good, tough leather look, I don't know how to look.
No, I'm not saying you look bad. You look very tough. I was saying,
yes, you did say I look bad because you said I had on the tight pants. I looked like hell. I had on moccasins. And
you did say that, David.
Here, this is what I'm trying to tell Phil.
You did say that, David.
You know, back me up, Phil.
No. He can back you up if you're telling the truth. He's not going to back you up and lie.
No, excuse me, Bob, but I'm talking to my, you know, my guy.
Well, yeah, but I'm the advertiser.
Yeah, he's advertising.
Yeah, he's advertising.
Just go ahead and suck up.
Well, at least he's telling the truth, okay? So we went in, and I'm wearing leather. I've got on the, you said it was a rodeo shirt. It was a Western shirt. I didn't have on moccasins. It was the fringed moccasin boot.
You were wearing the fringed moccasin boot.
Don't start with me, okay? Because I already heard from this guy.
Can you believe it? This is what I was trying to tell you.
What do you mean, can you believe it? Did she have a good time or didn't she?
She had a good time, yeah.
Okay.
So you were wearing a fringed moccasin boot.
Oh, come on. What is it? You were wearing a fringed moccasin boot. You know, the way that you pretend like you're shot really gets me.
I'm beginning to agree with David. You must have looked like a real freak on wheels, Jack. You know?
A freak on wheels, Jack. Did you record that?
I wrote it down.
A freak on wheels, okay?
Now, I'm telling you right now, if we're talking about bald, we're talking about bald. Why'd you call up?
I called up because I wanted to take exception to this guy talking about the date that we went out on and how he said I looked like living hell, and I'm quoting him directly. I had moccasins, tight leather pants, a Western shirt, a vest, and I had my hair tied back with a twist tie that I found on the hefty bags. Now he says to me, take the hair out of the twist tie. I did. Do I care? Do you think I care? As soon as I met this girl, I knew that we were going to have a great time. That's the kind of confidence that I have. And when I walk into that sushi bar, and I'm dressed like, you know, I was dressed in a sort of frontier look, and you have a lot of Asian Pacific people who see that look on a Caucasian, they're going to hop to it. There's no question.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know.
So I've been out.
All right, hold on for a minute. I'm gagging on that one.
You're gagging on what?
Never mind. 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a break. What I just heard there was so utterly and completely asinine and insulting and offensive and everything in between, I can't breathe. We'll be right back here. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth, man, is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Bill Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. David G. Hall and Bob Green joining us. We've been talking about employer-employee relationships. We're talking, and it got into the discussion of male pattern baldness, or men who are bald and are comfortable with it, men who are bald and are not comfortable with it, and I guess men who have hair. David, you have a full head of hair, right?
I have not had that problem, but I certainly know men that have. First of all, when you say it's a problem, I don't have that problem. I have a hair system. And
all right, but yet one point you were bald.
I'm not going to acknowledge anything, any imperfection. One of the things that I do, Phil, as a successful businessman, and one of the reasons why I'm a successful businessman, and one of the reasons why I have a very high level of confidence around women.
Well, we were talking about the way you treated that one female employee.
Watch it, Bill, okay? What do you mean the way I treated that one? What I said to her was, don't ever talk to me like I'm some dumbass that doesn't know about art and how to talk about it. And that's what I said to her. So I'm bald like David's bald. I'm not bald.
You got a hair system. That is a hairpiece.
No, it is not. It's a hair system.
Bill, it's a hair system. And the reason why it's not a hairpiece, a hair system, is it $15,000?
Yeah, $15,000.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to phone calls here. On the line is Max. Go ahead, Max. You're on the Phil Henry Show with David Hall and Bob Green.
$15,000 just to hide who you are. That is pretty impressive. I had called to say that...
If I can afford it. Maybe that's your way of saying you can't.
That's true. I will agree with you that that's not an unfair response. But I think that my boss used to have a ponytail and bald, and that is not a good look. I think the guy was helping you, and Phil, I think he was absolutely right when he said you need to show more tact to certain people at times.
I think that I was. Look, I don't care. I got great confidence around women.
I think Phil was right about that also, that that women do respond to it. It is absolutely true that testosterone is the reason that men are bald.
Are you bald?
No, I'm not, but I'm starting to thin at the temples, and I got to admit that it does worry me a little. But I don't think I would ever wear a system.
So in other words, you're worried about it, but you do realize it means more testosterone. So what are you worried about?
Well, when it starts to go back a little bit, I'd be worried about it cosmetically only, not from a outlook perspective. I'd just shave it bald.
Why don't you get a hair system?
I'd shave it bald.
Don't get it.
I think that always looks better, even if you're overweight.
What looks better?
Shave it bald.
What?
Just shave it all off.
You won't have to shave it after a while. It'll just fall out.
Around the collar, how are you growing a ponytail if it's all fell out?
What do you mean ring around the collar? What the hell
that,
are you talking
that
about?
That monk look. You all have that old medieval monk look where, like,
I'm telling you that if you're going bald, you don't have to shave anything.
No, he's talking about shaving the sides.
I don't care what he's talking about.
Off.
I'm telling him, get a hair system.
Get a hair system?
Unless you spend as much as a good car on the cost.
$15,000, Bob Green.
I do not have that kind of money, and I don't think most people do, and I don't think most people know those paintings either, Phil.
Would you talk to me and not to Phil, because he doesn't care what you got to say?
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. He's not interested in what you got to say.
He's the one who took my call,
I'm telling you,
he's the one who took my call,
Is this a guy? Am I talking to a guy or a woman?
It's a guy. All right, listen, Max, thank you. Let's move on. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to John. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
That guy sounded all wrong.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I was thinking maybe...
What do you mean he sounded all wrong?
Much luck with women with his hair receding the way it is.
You want to know what gives you luck with women? A big bankroll, my man. A big bankroll, buddy. You buy them a car, you'll find out how lucky you get with a woman.
All right, that's really great advice.
Make wigs like George Washington used to wear? Because that'd be cool, man.
Keep making your jokes, kid. And keep your job at the supermarket, too.
All right.
Phil, you know,
you're the guy that's got the hair system.
I do. I've got
Man, I would love to have one like George Washington had back in the day. I'd pay $15,000 for that.
Hey, I got a great idea for you. Go to a costume store and buy a wig.
I don't want a wig. I want a hair system, man. I want a, you said there's a difference between a hair system
that's
and a wig.
$15,000.
I want a
it's
hair system like George
15,
Washington had.
I know. It's going to cost you $15,000. That's a lot of groceries to bag. I don't know how long it's going to take.
I would pay that. I would pay that.
You pay it and once you get the money. Once you get the money, and you'll be bald by the time you get that money, too.
Okay,
right,
so
right,
so what are you doing now?
Love it. That's all, that's all that I'm worried about. The ladies love it.
The what?
The ladies
you know,
love
you're
that
mumbling,
kind of hair, man.
You need speech therapy. You need speech therapy.
Why do I need,
you go
why do I need speech therapy?
Because this is what you said. You went boo-boo-boo-boo. That's what it sounded like.
I'm down here at Ted's in Beverly Hills.
Phil, I want to thank you, gentlemen, very, very much for joining us.
What are you thanking me for? I mean, all you did is weaken a country tonight, Henry. And
get out of here, okay? Bob?
Hey, I want to ask that last guy, that smartass you had on the phone, okay, talking about Ted's in Beverly Hills and the breast milk and all that. Let me tell you something, kid. Until you've had it, don't knock it. There's an old saying. Don't knock it until you've tried it. And especially when you get it from a source. And I'm Bob.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob. Boy, here's a guy that dresses. He dresses like he's in a polka band. Ties his hair back like he's a English lit professor at Reed College. Is about 5 foot nothing. And he has nothing but women. And he can't find a wife to save his life. Anyway, and he's loaded, too. All right, we're going to come up next hour with our news and information. Did you hang up on them or not?
Yeah, Mr. Hall's going to be hung up on.
What does he want, man? Yeah, David.
What do you mean, what do I want? I happen to be your partner.
Okay, so...
So what?
So the whole conversation's ridiculous, okay? We're done. We're done.
Oh, we're done, are we? You know, don't tell me that you don't care about your bald head, because, you started to get a little... You started to get a little crazy as the conversation was moving on for that hour.
Well, what about Green? That guy is not, he's not packing a full load. That guy has not loaded up each shell with enough buckshot, man. That guy...
Whatever. He's a sponsor, and he's got a $15,000...
Yeah, $15,000 hair system. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, News and Information Hour, coming up next. Phil Hendry Show. Well, that damn eye, man, I tell you, I would definitely be worried about this eye were it not for the fact when I look at it close up, you know.
Yeah, either you got to fix it or you don't.
Yeah, man, you can't keep looking at it. Well, look, I'm just looking, you know, is it worth a trip to the freaking doctor? That's all. It's getting better, I think. But it sure looks freaking weird, man, staring at the camera. Anyway, what happened was, if you guys don't know the story, I woke up Sunday morning and the blood vessels in one of my eyes had just, like, gone haywire. I mean, it was literally just bang, had a hemorrhage of some kind. And it had been a tough Saturday night, so I'm just guessing that there was something having to do with stress. It's happened before to me at times in my life, and so that's why I thought... What happened? We'll see. I don't know. You know, like I said, it could be a brain tumor.
Quit talking that way, man. You don't know what the brain tumor.
I'm kidding around, okay? It's not a brain tumor. All right. The story that we're talking about, and by the way, welcome to the show. It is our News and Information Hour. Phil Hendry here with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Robert, the nephew of Mavis Leonard, who's been on our show from time to time, and I understand she's going to be calling in tonight.
Yeah, my aunt wants to call in tonight and comment on the... On a whole, she hadn't called a talk show in a while, so we'll talk on your show.
your aunt hasn't called a talk show. Now, who does she usually call?
Didn't she call, like, Art Bell?
Well, she used to talk to Art Bell, but now Art Bell ain't there. She called up, I think she talked to
George Norrie.
Yeah, I thought talk to him. And she come on, she talked to you, too.
All right, good. Well, we'll look forward to hearing from your Aunt Mavis. Mavis Leonard is the well-known lady on our show because she is the one. She's got all those spirituals, right?
Yeah, she's thinking about putting them in a songbook, you know.
She ought to sell a CD of her or something like that. That might be my idea.
Ah, man, she can't sing. But I think the ones she wrote.
Well, the ones that she wrote, I mean, didn't she write one about being baptized in the in the Christian faith?
Yeah, it's called Baptist Baby in a Bag.
Baptist Baby in a Bag. That, I don't know if that's going to go over with the faithful, you know?
It's a very good spiritual. On account of you put a baby in a bag.
Yeah, that's how you do it. You got to bag it.
You always bag the baby.
What do you mean you always bag the baby? She's singing a song about how to baptize a baby in the river. You stick the baby in a bag and float him down the river.
Yeah.
Well, everybody knows putting a baby in a plastic bag is going to kill him.
Why?
Why? Because he can't breathe, bud. That's why.
Oh, no, you poke two holes in it.
Oh, well, you poke two holes in it. Well, of course, brother. And then what was the other one?
Wire brush, right?
Yeah, scrub a baby down with a wire brush.
Scrub a baby down with an old wire brush. Yeah, that was that one. I don't know, man. I just don't know. All right. She going to sing some of those?
Yeah, she might, right?
I don't know, man. I didn't get her to sing. You're going to have to come up. Because what happened if you sing and somebody record it, then they're going to have to get the royalty payment on that. She'll probably want to, you know, get a taste.
Oh, she'll want to get a taste, huh? Well, in that case, I ain't going to have her sing, okay?
Why are you going to be cheap?
We don't have a budget to pay people. Don't you guys know that yet? All right, anyway, a pastel version of The Scream by Edward Munch fetched nearly $120 million. This is what we were talking about during the portions of the show tonight. It fetched $120 million from, who bought it?
Oh.
An anonymous buyer.
The guy didn't want to say, huh?
Nope. Didn't want anybody to know. An anonymous buyer. Maybe it was Bernie Madoff's wife or something. Somebody really outrageous. Maybe it was Madoff. Anyway, $120 million from an anonymous buyer Wednesday at Sotheby's in New York, setting a new world record for a work of art sold at auction. $120 million. Now, I don't know if that is a world record in terms of art pieces sold.
What's the difference?
Well, this was sold at an auction. There could have been a private transaction that took place between buyer and seller in the history of art pieces being sold that we don't know about or that we do know about and that was went for more. You know, not all art is sold at an auction. Experts had expected the masterpiece to break new ground as the famed New York auction house... at the famed New York auction house, Sotheby's. Its pre-sale estimate, the pre-sale estimate was $80 million. It was the highest ever listed at Sotheby's, and it blew right through that baby. The actual sale price was $119 million.
You said $119.
Shut up. $119 million. Okay. $119,922,500. Man.
Now, how the hell are they asking like that?
Yeah, that well, guy says, what am I bid for a piece of the art? $5. Who'll bid $5?
They ain't going to bid $5 on that, man. It probably started like $1 million.
No, they didn't. They started at $80 million. They started at $80 million. That was what the pre-sale estimate. Then it got started lower. They figure it's worth at least $80 million, so that's where they started it. Now, I don't know what the increments are. It looks like thousands of dollars. Is it $10,000? What are the increments, you know?
No, the way the guy does it, start at $80 million. Do I hear $80 million and $5? Do I hear $80 million and $5?
Bud, are you an idiot or something?
They ain't going to say $80 million and $5, man. They're going to go way more than that.
Why?
It's going to take them forever to get to $120 million if they're taking $5 bids. $80 million. Do I hear $80 million and $10? You a nut or something? These people are wealthy that are at these things, man. They're loaded. Oh, baby. This is a drop in the bucket for some of these cats. So they ain't going $5 bids.
I mean, if you look at this, it must have been like an, I don't know what it was, 10,000?
Well, maybe they started out an odd number.
119,922,500. Maybe it's 1,000, you know? God, that seems kind of El Cheaperino. Anyway, previously the most expensive artwork ever sold there at Sotheby's, okay, was Pablo Picasso's painting Nude Green Leaves and Bust. That's kind of like California or Bust.
Yeah.
Nude Green Leaves and Bust, which brought in $106.5 million 2 years ago. Wow, man, and this is $119 million. The previous record for a Munch work of art was just over $38 million. Edward Munch. Now, that'll be a guy you can look up, bud, on if you want Wikipedia, if you want to actually learn something about the guy, maybe Encyclopedia Britannica or something else.
What would you recommend?
How about one of the art museums or something? Maybe go to one of their sites.
You got all wrong about Wikipedia, man. All they do is copy stuff like that. The Wikipedia, they copy stuff from an art museum.
Yeah, sometimes Winklepedia copies it from an art museum, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they have jackballs in there screwing us. I don't know, man. I'm just, you know. The version of the Scream on the block Wednesday was one of four, two pastels and two paintings executed between 1893 and 1910, Sotheby said, and is one of the best-known images in modern art. You guys know the Scream? Well, here on Phil TV and HD, there. It's a guy standing on a road, and he's screaming. Now, this is a black and white that you're seeing here that I'm showing in the camera, but if you see the actual painting, it's in color. The figure of the man you see in its entirety, and it's quite a shocking and a very stark piece.
Why you say that?
Because it's this lone figure, and I believe the sun is setting or rising. And I believe that when you look at this thing, there's this sense of just complete and isolation. This guy is in the middle of what is otherwise probably a fairly calm scene. It's a country road. There's a split rail fence that's next to him. There's even another figure, I think, in the picture. But this guy is completely alienated to the point where he's holding the side of his head and he's screaming. And it probably was one of those pictures that just took people by surprise. You know, it's kind of like Jimmy Cagney, you know, squeezing that grapefruit into that woman's face, which I know you guys don't know what I'm talking about.
What do you do? What are you talking about?
James Cagney, in one of his movies, took a grapefruit and pushed it into the actress's face. It's a very iconic scene. It shocked audiences at the time. The first time I saw it, I thought it was, wow, that's Jimmy Cagney just pushed a grapefruit into that lady's face.
Who's Jimmy Cagney?
He was a great actor in the early part of movies. All right. Let's see. So anyway, so Edward Munch, which Bud laughs at that name.
That's pretty funny to think about it. What if his middle name is Butt?
I was thinking about it. His name was Edward Butt. Can you shut up and grow up? What if his middle name's Butt? The version of the Scream on the block Wednesday was one of four between 1893 and 1910 and is one of the best known images in modern art. It's also the only version a private collector can get their hands on at a public auction. The other three are housed in National Gallery of Norway and at the Munch Museum in the Norwegian capital. Oh, so this guy's a...
He's Norwegian.
Yeah. Norwegian?
Or whatever that is.
Well, you remember the time the guy came on and said, if you're part African and part Norwegian? Oh, that was a low... Are you guys out of your minds? Anyway, that's in Oslo, Norwegian. That's in Oslo... And I guess Mr. Munch is a Norwegian. I mean, he's Norwegian. And that's kind of heavy. So there are three other versions of the Scream. Heavy. Munch also created a lithograph of the Scream in 1895, the same year he executed the pastel, auctioned on Wednesday. Munch's use of color, art historians say, is a distinguishing characteristic of this version. The pastel on board also remains in its original frame. So it's a... It's a painting that has not been moved into a new frame. It has that much going for it in terms of its historical import. Dubbed the Portrait of a Soul and the Face That Launched a Thousand Therapists, the Scream depicts a distorted human figure, hands flat against its sunken face, eyes and mouth wide open in the foreground of a nightmarish landscape. I never thought it was nightmarish, but... The pastel is being sold by Norwegian businessman Peter Olsen, whose father is thought to have been a friend and patron of the famed artist. All right, we'll be back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. I got to take a break here and talk more about the Scream and Norwegians, you know, all that stuff. World-famous Phil Hendry show, our news and information hour, and Mavis Leonard is coming up too, Robert's aunt. Maybe she'll talk to us about the Scream.
Yeah, I'll talk about Norwegian too.
All right.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
So if you joined us on Phil TV in HD, I just showed online here a picture. This is the actual scene of the auction itself. And this is an article written by Jenna Bunch. Not Jenna Munch and not Jenna Bush. Jenna Bunch.
She related?
Is she related to who?
She related to the guy named Munch.
I maybe not, since her last name is Bunch.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it.
I don't give a damn if it sounds... Bud Dickman sounds like something that I don't... Never mind. So,
Don't say it.
I didn't say it. So, anyway, that's the picture of it there, and that is the scene. And what kills me about this picture, and of course there's an article you can read up if you want, but this particular scene is a scene from Sotheby's where this The Scream was auctioned. A painting... Remember, folks, this is a painting that is 117 years old, 1895. So it's old, and but it comes from a period when art, I guess, international art was beginning to sort of explode into like weird, surreal stuff. All these cats with their cell phones, you see that?
Yeah, I was going to say that, man. They're probably on a phone with a guy. Yeah, I bet you the guy that bought it is like a Mr. like a Dr. X or something, and he didn't want anybody to know about it.
Well, no kidding. That's what he said. He didn't want anybody to know about it. But all these guys on their cell phones are all like, they represent buyers. And so there's a dude there just, the bid right now, they're like, what do you want me to do, Mr. X?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
God, the money, man. You can't even imagine it. You can't, I can't. The money that these people have got. And,
What think all these people made the money?
You don't know. You don't know. I mean, some of them are probably... made their money in whatever the family business was. You know, if you think of the Astors, if you think of the real old American money, Astors, Vanderbilts, that money started out, the Astor money started out as fur. He was a fur trader. Then he bought real estate. And the Vanderbilts is something else. You don't know. And then there's...
What about Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson's money, well, his money did come from movies. Now it just simply is going to his ex-wife. And anyway,
oh man, I hope Mel Gibson not hear that. But,
you know, I mean, do I lie or what? 877-876 Phil is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Mavis Leonard is joining us from Southgate tonight, Robert's aunt. And Mavis, nice to talk with you, dear. We haven't talked to you in a long time.
I'm glad to be on with you, Phil. And I'm very, very grateful that you have a place there for my nephew. Robert here, a good man.
Thank you, honey.
I know that I said things about you laying around, Robert. I think you're a good man.
Thank you, honey. I love you.
I love you, too. You know, you are the son of my sister. My sister died.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, you know she's sorry to hear that. How long do you think she's going to live? I mean, I'm 87. And she was 93 when she died. So you can say you're sorry to hear. I'm sure you are sorry to hear it, but I thank God she died because...
Why do you say that?
Am I being interviewed by Mr. Henry? Am I talking to you?
Mother, wonder why you're talking about my mother.
Am I being interviewed by Mr. Henry or you?
Okay, that's fine. But why are you... Why did you say you were happy she died?
Oh, my God. How long you want a woman to live? How long you want a woman to live? She's going to live she's 93 years old. She died. You want her to live to be 103? I didn't think the woman ever going to die. I thought she was immortal, like you, if you ever had seen a vampire movie.
No, no vampire immortal.
You don't know know my sister the way I knew my sister, they're immortal. You know that there are no way you say she's going to die. I would always worry, Mr. Henry, and feared. that their immortality.
Well, you feared immortality.
No, I didn't fear immortality. I said, I worry, is she ever going to die? You know, she's the oldest man living. She goes on living here another year. She goes on living here another year. And you start to say, my God, the woman's going to live on forever like one of the vampires, you know.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Henry, would you tell him to shut his hole? Because if he don't shut the trap, man, I got a trap door. Something, I'm going to put a latch on that trap door.
Look at Robert, let me just talk to her, okay?
Well, I don't know what you were saying about my mother being immortal.
I didn't say she a vampire, you dumbass. I said I hope that I just don't want her to be immortal.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you want a woman to be immortal?
You try being... Boy, I tell you, I can't get away from it.
Look, just talk to me, okay?
No, but I want to say this. Are you an old lady?
No.
All right, until you try being an old lady, until you try being me, where I live in like an old lady and I got my ugly-ass nephew sleeping on a couch and watching Animal Planet and Puppy Bowl.
But you know I love a Puppy Bowl.
Puppy Bowl's pretty nice.
Is that Dickman?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Lord, Lord. Oh, Lord. Dickman, you best just back off, okay? If you don't want to get your licks, you just back off of me, all right?
I'm sorry, Mr. Leonard, but I think Puppy Bowl's great.
Puppy Bowl is a big waste of space. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I don't know what...
You don't like the Puppy Bowl?
Do I like the Puppy Bowl? I think the Puppy Bowl is a waste of space. And I think that... And I think that that long, tall drink of water that plays the referee on a Puppy Bowl... Do they tell me he's a man that invented a Puppy Bowl? They ought to strap him down and let all the puppies... and all the puppies of all over the world just come up and do their business on him. That's how I feel about that Puppy Bowl.
Why don't you like the puppy? I mean...
I like a cuddly puppy as much as the next person. But I'm not going to waste my life like my nephew does, sitting on a couch. He eating up all the Quaker rice cake, drinking all my Henry Weinhardt. How much Henry Weinhardt I have in the house last night? How much Henry Weinhardt I have in the house last night? You answer straight question.
I think you had a case.
And how much Henry Weinhardt I got now? I have one six-pack. What an alcoholic. You alcoholic, puppy bowl watching alcoholic jackball.
Well.
I guess that just about says it, doesn't it?
Yeah, that put me down.
You know something? I know you think you're being smart-ass. You get back here. I'll show you what smart-ass is.
All right, look, Mavis, we don't have a lot of time. I just wanted to say to you, number one, I understand what you said about your sister, Robert's mother. What was her name?
My sister's name was Eunice.
Eunice. And you didn't want her to be immortal.
No, I didn't want her to be immortal. That's so overrated. People talk about, I don't want to die. I want to die. Oh, God, how I want to die. Because if you are an old lady and you got this guy... laying around the house watching a puppy bowl. Well, I can go on and on.
Well, look, you are you're a sweet lady. I appreciate you being on our show. Thank you, and dear, get to bed, huh?
Well, just because I'm an old... Now you just got on the fighting side of me.
Don't ever tell her to go to bed, man. She stay up all night sometime.
I'm sorry. Just stay up as long as you want.
You on the fighting side of me. You tell me to go to bed. And just remember what I said, Robert. Puppy bowl. The puppy bowl is for losers. You understand? All that puppy bowl showed me which dog is a loser. I don't want to lose a dog.
Phil Hendry.
Where do you hear this? This is insane. I mean, the more I read about this Scream painting, now, I find this interesting. The Scream, this painting that we're talking about, and welcome back to the show, folks, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is our News and Information Hour with Bud and Robert. The Scream was stolen. One of the Screams, there's four of them. And I don't know, but one of them was stolen back in 1994, the same day as the opening of the 94 Winter Olympics in Lillehammer. whether this is, where's Lillehammer? Austria. All right. Now, four guys stole this painting. The painting had been moved down to a second-story display as part of the Olympic festivities, and the presence of international media covering the games made the theft a sensation. And early, I'm reading this, by the way, Bud, you'll be happy to know, from Winklepedia.
Yeah, Winklepedia is pretty good.
Maybe. Although this is fully annotated and footnoted, so everything's cool. An early claim of responsibility by a Norwegian pro-life group turned out to be bullcrap. After the gallery refused a ransom demand of $1 million, that's $1 million U.S. in March of 94, the gallery refused a ransom of $1 million in 1994. Norwegian, how do you refuse it unless you already, the cops have told you that they've got an idea or something, you know?
What do you mean?
Well, how do you refuse a ransom demand? This is, it's not like it's a, it's a funny thing. It's not a human being. A human being where they ask for a ransom, well, it's kind of funny. It's funny to think of a human being as someone that, well, it's logical to refuse paying a ransom for a human because you don't want to encourage terrorists. I don't. Anyway.
What are you talking about? You pay a ransom for a human.
A human?
You know.
Anyway, the Norwegian police set up a sting operation with assistance for the British police and the Getty Museum, and the painting was recovered undamaged on May 7th, 1994. In January of 96, the four men were convicted in connection with the theft, including one man by the name of something or other. What is that? The artist formerly known as Prince? I can't understand that.
I think that's like Norwegian for Pluto.
How do you know that? It ain't Norwegian, man, okay? It's Norwegian.
What?
Norwegian. Not Norwegian.
Norwegian.
Norwegian. One of the guys that stole it in 1988 had been convicted of stealing another one of Edward Munch's paintings called The Vampire. Now, get a load of this. These guys were released on appeal on legal grounds. They were released on appeal on legal grounds. The British agents involved in the sting operation had entered Norway under false identities. So the guys that arrested them should not have arrested them, or at least the four guys that were involved in the sting, and they were British guys, had entered Norway illegally, so therefore they hadn't entered Norway, so therefore the sting operation couldn't have taken place, so therefore these guys get... What kind of...
Same thing happens in America.
Maybe. Boy, I tell you what. I can't wait for something like that to happen here in the States. And you're right, Bud. It's got to happen sooner or later. I'm sure it has happened. I just, if it has, it's just flown right under my radar, man, or over it or around it or however, you know, things fly around radar. Another version of the scream was stolen in 2004 on August the 22nd during daylight hours. Masked gunmen entered the Munch Museum in Oslo. And
where's that?
Oslo, Norway.
That's the capital of Norway.
And stole two paintings, Scream and Munch's Madonna. A bystander photographed the robbers as they escaped with the artwork to their car, shown at the right. Oh, wow, they're showing a picture of these jackasses running away. On April 8th, 2005, the Norwegian police arrested a suspect in connection with the theft, but the paintings remained missing, and it was rumored that they'd been burned by the thieves to destroy the evidence. On June 1st, 2005, with four suspects already in custody in connection with the crime, the city government of Oslo offered a reward of 2 million Norwegian kronies, roughly $313,500 American dollars, or 231,200 euros.
What?
For information that could help locate the paintings. Though the paintings remained at large, six men went on trial in early 2006, variously charged with either helping to plan or participate, blah, blah, blah. Three of the men were convicted and sentenced to between 4 and 8 years. The museum was closed for 10 months for a security overhaul. And they had recovered the Scream and the Madonna, but they didn't reveal detailed circumstances of the recovery. But the Norwegian police said they recovered that in 2006. So, you know, art is, it's very valuable, man.
I never heard of $120
million,
man.
$120
million.
$120 million. And the reason why is it's very rare. There's two reasons why art is very, very valuable. Number one, there are people, and this is the thing that gives it its value, there are people that want it. And they are willing to pay large amounts of money for it. The reason why they want it is because art, especially this kind of art, when we talk about art, we're talking about paintings and drawings. The very earliest form of artistic expression that we that is recorded is art. The paintings on the walls, you know, in the caves.
What are you talking about?
You've never heard about the paintings in Spain?
No.
There are paintings on cave walls in Spain of herds of beasts running, of dogs, of reindeer, of bison.
What's a bison?
It's a freaking buffalo. Will you let me finish? Anyway, these are paintings that go back 14,000 years, 13,000, 11,000 years. And
though the one you were telling me the guy got high when he painted them?
Well, they don't know if they got high. They think that they were painted by early shaman or early priests, members of whatever clan or tribe was living in the area at the time, and that the paintings on the walls were somehow sacred. It's a theory. It's a theory, man. Somehow they're sacred or somehow they're religious. And the dude that painted them was, while he was painting them, inhaling the smoke of some, you know...
Like weed.
Sure, bud. Whatever, you know.
Part of that BC bud.
Yeah. BC bud.
Oh, get out of here. That's right, man. He's smoking some of that British Columbia bud. Anyway, so there you go. So people want this stuff, and they got a lot of money. And the cats that love art, man, they're loaded, baby. They are loaded. And
what do you think about that Madonna?
The what?
What's the one, Mona Lisa. How much you think that worth?
Mona Lisa? I don't know, man. I don't know. The Mona Lisa must be worth... if this thing's worth $120 million, the screen, the Mona Lisa's got to be worth way more than this.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. The Mona Lisa must be worth like $200 million then, man. If this is $120 million, this thing... See, this is very iconic. Anytime... What we mean by iconic, we recognize it. We see it. It's familiar to us. We may not be art fans. We may never have heard of Edward Munch any more than we heard of his brother, Butt. Yeah, it's very funny, bud. We may not know pastels from oil. We may not even know what art is, but we recognize the figure. We see that. We go, aha, I know that. The Mona Lisa is the same. And there are very few paintings, but there are some that we look at and we go, oh, I know that. I've seen that. And the most humble person, that's what we mean by iconic, recognizes it. So, and the Mona Lisa, I mean... I don't know if there's a painting that's better known than that, so it's got to be worth more than this.
Man, if they ever sell that Mona Lisa, that'd be like millions and billions.
Dude, they already is millions, you idiot.
And, hey, come on, you jackasses arguing about it. They gonna sell it. It's in the Louvre, baby. It's in that museum in France. They'll never sell it. It's a national treasure. It's an international treasure. They're not gonna sell it, okay?
But, I mean, if they did.
They ain't never gonna sell it. It may get stolen. I mean, I think people stole that, too, in fact, at one time. They busted out. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
If you go to the Louvre in Paris, first of all, you can't get near the damn painting because there's 85 million people who are standing there posing and getting their picture taken with it. It's behind glass because it's been, I think, defaced, or some people have attempted to...
What'd they do, like take a knife to it?
I don't know. I forget, but some people have tried to, yeah... have tried to take it or to deface it. So it's behind glass. There's 85 billion people hanging around the damn thing.
You have to get there, like, early in the morning.
You could get there early in the morning, and I bet you anything, man. You could be the first guy in line when they open the damn place up, and I bet you, like, half the people make a beeline for the Mona Lisa, if not all of them. Come on, we're the first ones here, you know. So I don't think... I don't know, but so that painting, the Mona Lisa, is the most well-known in the world, so it's got to be one that is worth a lot of money. All right, don't forget our website is philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. If you get over there, you can pick up a backstage pass, and you can watch live streaming video of our show, as you are watching it right now, and you can see really cool things like the picture I'm showing on Phil TV right now of the auction scene at Sotheby's. But in any event, get a backstage pass, listen to thousands of hours of... marvelously archived audio, thousands of hours of the Phil Hendry Show going back over a decade. It's all there with your backstage pass. The world famous Phil Hendry Show will be back with
Truth
more. Our final
is
segment
our
in just
bitch,
a moment.
The Phil Hendry Woo. Show.
Woo, woo, woo.
World
world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
I am world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. If you look at our... if you look at Phil TV and HD, now what you're seeing there is a copy of the, this is a pastel, so he did four of them.
Well, what's this one?
Take it easy, bud. This is a pastel, a version executed in 1910 in tempura.
Ain't that something you get at a Chinese restaurant?
No, that's sushi.
What do you mean it's sushi? It's an art term.
What about tempura?
Tempura is tempura. I'm going to start, I've been threatening it. This is going to be the week. I'm going to kick someone's ass.
Well, all it said is like tempura.
It ain't. I didn't say tempura. I said tempura on cardboard. It was stolen from the Munch Museum in 2004. It was recovered in 2006. That's this painting. This is done on cardboard. Okay. Cardboard. And the thing is worth millions. There's another one that was a lithograph. He changed it into a lithograph. One of the things that I was reading that I think is kind of interesting is Andy Warhol did a series of prints of the Scream in the Warhol fashion, you know, where he does four or five, like he did Marilyn Monroe's face or the soup can. And his purpose was to, the word they use, desacralize or otherwise make it less of this iconic, totem. Or this object of reverence and make it something that was just very commonplace. That was what he wanted to do. Well, Edward Munch himself did it way, way before Andy Warhol ever got the idea, because when he made the lithograph, his idea was to reproduce it as much as he possibly could.
Sounded to me like that's the only painting this guy ever did.
Yeah, tried to make hay while the sun shined.
Well, what would you do, man?
I don't know. It seems like he commercialized it.
Commercialized it? They just made $120 million on it. What do you mean? Of course it's commercialized. What the hell? You think these guys like to starve? Sure, he commercialized it. You know, the thing about people kill me. People just kill me. They just murder me. I mean, I love people. But when it comes to certain kinds of entertainments, the massive consumer would rather the artist starve to death just so long as it retains its unique quality. You know, oh, I don't want you to get too commercial. Well, would you mind if I ate? Well, if it means that you sell out, So in other words, in our lives and in the way we conduct our lives, it seems to me that we go out there, all of us, and we go out and try to make the best living that we can. And if it means we do this or if it means we do that, of course, we have our standards. But let's face it, we sell our talents to the highest bidder. But we don't seem to have the same open-mindedness when it comes to the entertainments that we enjoy. So here comes some poor slob wants to do the same thing, and he's an artist, and he wants to sell his art, and now we're saying he's a sellout, and I hate him, and I used to like his music, but I don't anymore.
Well, I gotta tell you, it's kind of that way about Avenged Sevenfold. They started being on Madden. I hate him now.
You hate Avenged Sevenfold because they're on Madden?
Yeah, he used to love them.
Why do you hate them?
Because they sold out.
But I'm saying, don't you want them to make a living?
They're making a living. They play a lot of clubs.
Oh, they play a lot of clubs. I'll bet you they just pull down really serious money that way. These guys, they put their music on Madden, dude, and they put it out anywhere they can so they can advertise what they do so they can make a living. Okay? But you don't want them to, because you want them to remain Avenged Sevenfold, the band that you love to hear in clubs.
Yeah, so what?
So they want to make a living. By the whole point that I'm trying to make here.
Your voice squeaked when you did that.
Yeah, it did. You want to make a living?
Oh, well, I'm so sorry, guys. I didn't mean for my voice to squeak.
Sound like this, but they got to make a living.
Okay, you guys, did you make your point?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
You guys going to have yourselves a couple of laughs here?
No, I just... Go ahead, Mr. Henry. Continue with the show.
Chinese dissident is released from embassy.
Really?
Causing turmoil for the U.S.
Do tell.
I'm going to... Hey! Your ass.
Yeah, I knew you were laughing.
All right, so I'm laughing. All right, here's the story that is just as disgusting as can possibly be. It doesn't get any more disgusting. In fact, I don't even want to read it. Oh, well, yes, I will. Former U.S. presidential candidate John Edwards' wife, Elizabeth, ripped off her shirt and bra in a confrontation with her husband over his affair. The court that is hearing this case against him heard today. And by today, I mean yesterday. We are now into Thursday. Breast cancer sufferer Elizabeth Edwards also collapsed during the fight in an airport car park. Good God. Mrs. Edwards' daughter left the court in tears during the latest evidence in her father's campaign finance trial. He denies using donations to hide a pregnant mistress and could face up to 30 years in jail if convicted. He could also be hit with a $1.5 million fine. Mr. Edwards has pled not guilty to 6 counts of campaign finance law violation. His 30-year-old daughter, Kate, who's been seated in the front row for much of the trial, was crying as she left the court in Greensboro, North Carolina, on Wednesday. Christina Reynolds, a former Edwards communication advisor and friend of his wife, told of the couple's confrontation a day after a supermarket tabloid published an article about his affair. The National Enquirer had revealed purported details of Mr. Edwards' relationship with Riel Hunter, who became pregnant with his child. Ms. Reynolds said the confrontation happened at Raleigh-Durham International Airport in North Carolina in October of 2007. The court heard that Mrs. Edwards stormed off and collapsed outside a private aircraft hangar. Ms. Reynolds said that she, along with another woman, helped Mrs. Edwards get to a bathroom and calmed her down, but Mrs. Edwards went outside again to find her husband. Ms. Reynolds said Mrs. Edwards had screamed, "You don't see me anymore." Then she took off her shirt and bra, exposing herself to her husband in front of his staffers, according to the court. He didn't have much of a reaction, Ms. Reynolds said. Mrs. Edwards had gone through intense treatment for breast cancer before the incident took place. She died in 2010 after a long struggle with the disease.
Did she have a mastectomy?
I don't know. At this point, I don't know. When she took off her bra, I guess she had a bra on. I guess not. Ms. Reynolds testified that as people rushed to cover Mrs. Edwards and get her into a car, she heard Mr. Edwards call his wife's doctor for help. After that, he got on a waiting plane and made a scheduled appearance in South Carolina. Ms. Reynolds said the tabloid article was apparently not the first Mrs. Edwards knew of the affair. In the summer of 2007, Mrs. Edwards told Mrs. Reynolds that her husband had confessed to the relationship. Well, that's pretty dramatic, man. Your wife's suffering from breast cancer. Whether or not she'd had a mastectomy, I don't know. But she was wearing a bra, and she took that off. She said, "You don't see me anymore. Here I am." You know?
Why'd she take the blouse off?
She had breast cancer.
So she was making a dramatic statement to him. She was saying, "You don't see me anymore. Well, here I am. Here I am, your wife, and this is what I've been going through. And you're off with your girlfriend. Dude. Oh, man. You know, do yourself a favor, man. If you want to fool around with the help, just get a divorce. Just get the hell away from your wife, you know, or somehow work it out, you know, that you're, you know, that you get to see other people. I don't know if that's possible, but, man, that is really heavy. And then the guy had to go off and do a campaign. I mean, you figure by that point, this jackass, he couldn't possibly have thought he was going to be elected president of the United States. What was he going to do if he got elected president?
I don't know, man.
What if he was able to keep it quiet?
Well, John Kennedy did.
Well,
that's true.
No, that's a good point. Kennedy did, and a whole lot of other guys did, but John Edwards wasn't smart enough. And this guy, Andrew Carnegie Mellon, Bunny Mellon?
Yeah.
She said that John Edwards reminded her of Kennedy. What part?
Well, you don't ask that question.
Yeah, what part? I bet you I know what the part is.
Oh, shut up. World-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Henry. And, of course, philhenryshow.com is where you go to get our daily podcasts as well as our daily videocasts. philhenryshow.com. And check out our souvenir shop. And until tonight at 10 o'clock, let that be a lesson for you.
Phil Hendry.